Joshua chapter 21. We'll just read the first three verses again. Then came near the heads of the fathers of the Levites unto Eleazar the priest, and unto Joshua the son of Nun, and unto the heads of the fathers of the tribes of the children of Israel. And they spake unto them at Shiloh in the land of Canaan, saying, The Lord commanded by the hand of Moses to give us cities to dwell in, with the suburbs thereof for our cattle. And the children of Israel gave unto the Levites out of their inheritance, at the commandment of the Lord, these cities and their suburbs. Amen. Thus far we read the word of God. So this chapter, chapter 21, our theme is living epistles. Living epistles. Remembering is a big part of the Christian life. Remembering the Lord. Remembering his word. Remembering the pit from which we have been delivered. Remembering the Saviour's death until he come. We have much need to be stirred up and put in remembrance that we should not forget all his benefits toward us. The Levites were a reminder of the Lord and of his worship and of the revelation of his covenant. The tribes have been allotted their portion in the land, but the Levites had to be provided for, though not with land like the other tribes. The scattering of Levi was to differ from that of Simeon, even though they were both pronounced that when they slaughtered the Shechemites, that they would be scattered in Jacob and in Israel. Yet the Lord, in the case of the Levites, scattered them in a most gracious and honourable way. First of all then, claiming divine promise is no sin. Claiming divine promise is no sin. In verses 1 to 3 here, the Levites come forward to Eleazar the priest, who's obviously one of them, but also to Joshua the son of Nun. It was no improper forwardness that the Levites came to Eleazar and to Joshua and reminded them of the word of the Lord. You see, they don't just ask for somewhere to live. In verse 2, they say, The Lord commanded by the hand of Moses to give us cities to dwell in, with the suburbs thereof for our cattle. Coveting what God has not promised when he doesn't give it is one thing. That's a murmuring discontent with God. But laying hold of what he has promised is quite another. And so the Levites were not wrong to come forward and to remind Joshua of the word of the Lord concerning them, that they should be given cities to dwell in. And for us also, it is no sin to come boldly to the throne of grace, not flippantly, not irreverently, but boldly. It honours the truthfulness of God. We should not therefore be afraid of fully availing ourselves of all that God has promised. It is true, he is a consuming fire in his holiness, but he is also the God of mercy and of truth, and it honours God to treat him as the God of truth. It is no reverence to God to treat his word as unreliable and shaky. It is not humility to fail to embrace all that God has said and all that he has promised. as if somehow it were an expression of reverence and humility to be tentative about what God has promised. If God has promised it, it should be laid hold of with both hands. Also, it was right that the rest of the church provide for these offices set apart to a particular function. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 13 and 14, do ye not know that they which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple, and they which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar? Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. So claiming divine promise is no sin. But secondly, a constant reminder. A constant reminder. Verse 4 down to verse, all the way down to verse 42. There are some details of interest. Caleb appears very magnanimously to give up Hebron, the city, as part of his inheritance, give it up for the Levites. But and there are other details, no doubt, that are of some interest. But there are two main things, at least, that we need to grasp from this list. Many of these names mean little to us. Many of them can be pinpointed, others perhaps not so surely. But obviously the Aaron and the priests are are in Judah, and near what was to become the place of the ceremonial worship. But generally speaking, there are two things at least that we should note. The Levites were a constant reminder, first of all, that because of their rootlessness. Their rootlessness. In Deuteronomy chapter 18, Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verse 6, and if a Levite come from any of thy gates out of all Israel, where he sojourned, and come with all the desire of his mind unto the place which the Lord shall choose, then he shall minister in the name of the Lord his God, as all his brethren the Levites do, which stand there before the Lord. They shall have like portions to eat beside that which cometh of the sale of his patrimony. If the Levite is described as sojourning in verse 6, and that is the word that is so rendered elsewhere, that we are sojourners or strangers in this earth. And there was a certain rootlessness to the way the Levites lived, this very lack of land, and yet great privilege in the worship of the Lord. This made it clear that the land was no end in itself. The land was never an end in itself. The Lord himself is the shield and exceeding great reward of his people. As in Psalm 16. Psalm 16. Verse 5. The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. The Lord himself is the inheritance of his people. The lines are fallen in pleasant places. That's the language of the dividing up of the inheritance. But chief of that inheritance is fellowship with the Lord himself. The land of Canaan was simply the place where that fellowship was to be nurtured and developed and increased. So the land was the place of fellowship with the Lord, but not an end in itself. It was the place where the covenant bond would be enjoyed and nurtured. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. So the Levites' rootlessness was itself a reminder that the land was not the be-all and end-all, that the chief thing was fellowship with the Lord. And the Levites enjoyed that fellowship with the special privilege of their role in the ceremonial ordinances of the Lord. The people as a whole dwelt in the land and enjoyed fellowship with the Lord also. But the land wasn't everything. It was a means to an end. It was part of God's covenant with his people, but it was not to be detached from fellowship with the Lord. And that's why a covenant-breaking people had not even a title to the land itself. But then also, the Levites were a constant reminder because they were dispersed throughout Israel. They were dispersed throughout Israel. This list of cities in verse 4, right down to verse 42. Their dispersal, not only the cities of refuge, though they were scattered, but throughout Israel and on both sides of Jordan, so that everywhere in Israel there were these cities not far away that were Levitical cities. It showed that all Israel had need of both the reminder of their presence, the very fact that there were Levites there reminded them of the Lord. Why were there these Levites with their special function and office in cities and without an inheritance in the land? Well, it was because their entry into the land wasn't merely one nation conquering another. It was the people of God brought into their inheritance by the Lord himself. And that same Lord had appointed a form of worship, which meant that the Levites were to be distinguished, and within the Levites, the descendants of Aaron as the priesthood, and the firstborn of Aaron's sons, descendants, as the high priest. In other words, the very presence of the Levites told Israel that the Lord was in heaven, that he was to be their God, that he was to be worshipped, that he had revealed himself in Israel, and that the ordinances taught them the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. So their very presence was, if you like, a living epistle. It was God declaring, reminding them, prodding them, that they were not to forget him. And then also there was the instruction in the truth of the Lord. 2 Chronicles and chapter 17. 2 Chronicles chapter 17. And verse 7. Also in the third year of his reign, he sent to his princes, even to Ben-Hail and to Obadiah and to Zechariah and Nathaniel and to Micaiah, to teach in the cities of Judah. And with them he sent Levites, even Shemaiah and Nethaniah and Zebediah and Asahel and Shemarmoth and Jehonathan and Adonijah and Tobijah and Tobadonijah, Levites, and with them Elishama and Jehoram, priests. And they taught in Judah, and had the book of the law of the Lord with them, and went about throughout all the cities of Judah, and taught the people. And in chapter 35 of that same book, 2 Chronicles, chapter 35 and verse 3, and said unto the Levites, this is Josiah, that taught all Israel, which were holy unto the Lord. So the Levites taught all Israel. So the Levites were throughout Israel, and that itself was a reminder, and they could teach the people the law of the Lord. And the church of the New Testament, though it has no Levites and priests, yet it still has equal need of being taught. Colossians 1 and verse 28, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. And then 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. There is to be teaching throughout the church of the living God. The whole church must be reminded of the truth that they do know, and they must be taught more of the truth of what they don't know. The truth of God is to be brought to remembrance, and our stock of truth, as it were, is to be enlarged. We need both. We don't just learn things once and tick it off. We need to be put in remembrance constantly, and reproved, rebuked, exhorted, and so forth. But we also need to increase our knowledge of the word of the Lord. And the Lord has appointed teachers in his church to that end. So Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. So the Levites were dispersed, so that their presence was a reminder, and they were able to teach the word of the Lord, because the whole church should be a learning, a place of learning, that the whole people of God should be built up in the knowledge of the truth. Thirdly, the faithful word, the faithful word, verse 43. And the Lord gave unto Israel all the land which he sware to give unto their fathers, and they possessed it and dwelt therein. And the Lord gave them rest round about, according to all that he sware unto their fathers, and there stood not a man of all their enemies before them. The Lord delivered all their enemies into their hand. There failed not aught of any good thing which the Lord had spoken unto the house of Israel. All came to pass. The faithful word. all the means of entering in to the inheritance were blessed. Verse 44, there stood not a man of all their enemies before them. The Lord delivered all their enemies into their hand. And the inheritance itself, verse 45, there failed not aught of any good thing which the Lord had spoken unto the house of Israel. All came to pass. Not one word fell to the ground. The Lord fulfilled his word. But you say, isn't there some imperfection here? Of course there is. There always is in any foresample of the full inheritance of God's people. But it may be objected that not every word was fulfilled, because here and there the Canaanites still dwelt in the land, and there was a shortfall of the inheritance. This is true, but not because the Lord abandoned anything of his word, but because of the unbelief of Israel. There was nothing preventing Israel fully completing their possession of the promised land, except their unbelief in the day of battle. When they went forth in the confidence of the Lord, not a man stood before them. The Lord never failed to fulfill his word. But they did fall short in their confidence in that word, and so they did not enter into the completeness of the inheritance assigned to them. But the ultimate inheritance will have no imperfection, because although all four samples of it in this world fall short, there is no sin in heaven and no shortfall in the enjoyment of the inheritance. If there's no sin and no shortfall, the complete blessedness promised will be actually enjoyed. So in the book of Revelation and chapter 21, Revelation chapter 21 and verse 27, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. And then chapter 22, verse 3, and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads, and there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign for ever and ever. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. God will fulfill his word. There will not be the slightest discrepancy between the testimony of Scripture and the glory that shall be revealed. There failed not aught of any good thing which the Lord had spoken unto the house of Israel. All came to pass, and all will come to pass. And Christ, who is our life, shall appear, and then we shall appear with him in glory. Amen.